Well, almost. So, yeah, settle in your seats. This is going to be a while. What was I thinking? Six sources and getting this all done in under an hour. Nope, no way. So, but that said, almost 20 years ago, I wrote a reflection piece on our seven principles in word and song, and I've done that all over the country. But today I will reflect on our six sources, the sources that inform those seven principles, asking from where does our wisdom come? More truth, more light is breaking through this world. More truth, more light. O great spirit, help us hear what needs to be heard. Help us say what needs to be heard. So I don't know about you, but for me, it's a lifetime journey towards more truth, more light. Yeah. Oh. Maybe I will just. I was double mic'd there for a while. The power, the power. So, first source, and you can find these in our hymnal at the very start. Oh my goodness, I'm still Wonder Woman. Oh, not that wondrous. Although
I did, yes, so you do have this total nerd for a minister. I have not one but two Wonder Woman CDs or DVDs.
I looked good. I'm sure I did. So, that first source, transcending mystery and wonder, an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. And we've certainly heard that in our last reading. We've talked about gathering the spirit, harvest the power, and in our story for all ages, a good day for sailing. We ask from what, from where do we experience our spirits renewed? From where comes that new openness to all that creates this world? This source asks us, how do we renew our energy to protect and sustain life? How do we explore and experience the great mystery? Not by bread alone. So that's the first source. Yep. I wish I could drag my whole library here. Exploring that mystery and wonder. The second source tells us to heed the words of prophetic women and men who confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and love. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk simply with your God. Now, when I'm speaking about God, what I'm saying is that which is greater than you, whether it is that mystery and wonder of poetry, of music, of art, of nature, of our system of culture. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God, to walk simply and humbly with that which is greater than you. To fall in love, to not let go, to not stand above, to not stand below, to do justice, to love kindness. Well, one of my favorite sermons is about the prophets, both ancient and modern. The framework is one that comes from Walter Brueggemann, who's a scholar of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And what the prophets were telling us over and over again was, wherever we live, it is probably Egypt. Now, what that means is it may very well be a society that is oppressive, that is seductive, a society that consists of those who have very much and those who have very little, committed to the accumulation of wealth in the forms of power or money or military strength. Wherever we live is Egypt, but the prophets tell us there is a better land somewhere, a land of love and justice. But how we get through to that land is through the wilderness. It's not an easy journey. It is not easy to get to a place of equity and justice, compassion and kindness. The road is wearying. The journey is full of desolation and despair, anger, frustration, burnout. Those of you who do justice work know that it is hard work. And the prophets tell us there is no way to get there, that better land somewhere, but to join together and to march together. The prophets tell us we must work together. The prophets of old and the prophets of modern day prophets. Prophets these days sing and write stories and plays and movies. I just experienced this amazing work called Concerning Matthew Shepard, who was a young man, a gay man, who was 25 years ago was killed, was beaten and tied to a fence in Wyoming and left for dead, and he did die. But prophets are modern-day prophets. They sing, they write letters to the editor, they march. These prophets show us sometimes the emptiness, the futility, the destructiveness of our current ways of being. Think of Greta Thunberg. They remind us of healthy ways to live in the world, and most importantly, they give us a vision of a better land. They give us hope. So, that's the prophets, third source. Oh, I'm just whipping through these, aren't I? So today I brought a stole with me, and this stole was, and this stole was given to me by one of the members of my congregation in Virginia, Minnesota, and it was given to her by her wife, who is a Lutheran pastor, who felt that it was a little too outside the boundaries of her church to wear it there. But it contains a number of religious symbols. Of course, there's the Christian cross. There is the Sikh. The Khanda, the circle and the two swords. There is a Yoruba goddess of fertility and good luck. There is Om. Om, the sound that the universe makes, the Tao. There's the indigenous. Yes, the medicine wheel. Yeah, representing the directions. There's, of course, the pentacle. The pentacle, the five pointed star of Wiccan. There's the Jewish star. There's the Muslim moon and star. There's the yin yang, the opposites that each have a bit of the other in them. Male has a bit of female. Female has a bit of male. Light and dark. There is the Jain, of course. The Jain symbol, ahimsa, nonviolence. And there is the Buddhist wheel of suffering, and the pointed star of the Baha'i, a religion of tolerance and world peace. And I have some information here. There are all those symbols and a little bit more about them in a handout that you can get afterwards. Om Mani Padme Om, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Mani Padme Om. It's the jewel of the lotus. It's considered the sound of the universe or the sound of silence. Om Mani Padme Om. La ilaha illallahu. La ilaha illallahu. There is no God but God. There is none but the One. La ilaha illallahu. Shalom, Shanti, Shalom, Shanti, Shalom, Hebrew, Shanti, Sanskrit, for peace. Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Ah, my choir sings all five of those from different parts of the room at one time. Now, to paraphrase my philosophy mentor, the dearly beloved Albert Borgman, he would tell us that there is probably something in each of those philosophies we've studied that you would disagree with. And I tell you that there is probably in each of these religious traditions something that you might, with which you might disagree or with which you might vociferously condemn. But as Albert would tell us, our job is to find the nugget, the shining light. In this case, our job in our search for our spiritual maturity is to find the wisdom embedded in each of these traditions. These traditions have lasted for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. There is a jewel in that lotus. Well, there you have it. You need no world religions now. Okay. So, Jewish and Christian teachings. Now, my very favorite Jewish story is the story where the rabbi comes and a gentleman asks him, so what is the meaning of my life? Why am I here? And the rabbi puts his hands in his pocket, and out of one pocket, he takes out a piece of paper and he says, you are but dust and ashes. But he takes a piece of paper out of his other hand, and on that paper it is written, for you the world was made. Now our Christian teachings, Jesus calls us to love, to peace, to forgiveness, to justice, to prayer. His life and teachings are all about transformation, about changes of the heart that change the way we live our lives. Now, I'll offer another story. This I saw done by Barbara Peskin at the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association in Quebec City in 2002. That was the year that Canada and the United States decided to separate. And it's the story of an ordinary woman who isn't sure what she is seeking. She's fearful of her new world, afraid for her future and that of her two sons. She's uneasy about the pronouncements about truth, the religious pronouncements. She's cynical about politics, disappointed in herself, but she will not surrender her children to a future of despair. She has a hoping heart. But she expects someone else, some prophet or politician or priest, to provide the miracle that will change life for herself and her family. In the story, something miraculous does happen, but it's not the miracle she was looking for.
It's not what I expected. It's colder. I can see the Sea of Galilee, the gray slate, and now the hillsides, the red anemones blooming. I try to remember why I'm here. It was my sons, Ben the older, Daniel the younger. They insisted on seeing this man, Jesus. Hillside, women and children and men, and they're all expecting something. They're expecting a miracle. They've heard about this prophet, this teacher, but we've been here 3 days now. We're cold and we're tired and we're hungry and we're my package, and because this is the bread that's going to get us home. Now, we bless the bread at home, we thank God for the bread, but I am not sure what God has to do with my daily bread. I work hard for this bread. This bread will get us home safely. And Ben comes up to me and says, "Mom, where's the bread?" And it's not so much a question as it is a demand. If you have ever had a teenager, you know what that sounds like. I say, "Ben, shh." And he rolls his eyes, and if you have children, you know what that is. Rolls his eyes at me, and I feel a little smaller. What am I supposed to do? This man tells us to love our neighbor, and that's all well and good, but that's not my life, that's not reality. I trust my neighbor, well, usually, sometimes. Well, Ben tells me that this man wants us to share our food with him, to bring out all of our food, and he's going to share it equitably, equally among us all. Now, Ben's gone off after the teacher, and Daniel holds my hand and tugs at me and says, "Mom, let's go look for him." And we do it, and I come up, and there he is. And there's some loaves of bread and some fish, not so very many for this many people, and he doesn't seem disappointed. He doesn't seem ashamed that we have so little to bring to the table. But I think, this is where the miracle is going to happen. Now, we have heard how this man changed water into wine at his cousin's wedding. And I pray, please, make something happen. Help me. I'm a good mother, but I'm afraid. And I see Jesus kneel on the ground, and he blesses the bread. And then he stands up and he breaks off a piece and he gives it to somebody next to him. That's it. No miracle. That's it. And people start sharing that bread. He comes through the crowd. He comes towards us. And he comes and puts his hand on my Daniel's head and he blesses him. And he stare into his face and I look into his eyes and I see myself in the way he's looking at me. I can't tell you, I can't explain it, but he loves me. He loves me. And I feel okay. And I feel whole. And I feel good. This man knows that I am hiding bread away, and he loves me nevertheless. Well, he passes by, and I take two loaves out of my satchel, and I give them to Daniel to give to Ben. And everybody around the hillside is sharing that which gives us life. I take a third loaf out and I turn my back to the neighbor behind me and about to share with him, and I see that out of his satchel he's taken two flat loaves of bread and is sharing, he motions me to share with the others. It wasn't what I was expecting. That night, something happened there. And that night when we sat around our fires, Ben and I looked at each other and blessed each other, and I promised to myself that I would never again lose his respect or his love. Now, people are going to say, it was a miracle. You know, that there were just buckets of loaves of bread and fish left over, and all I can say is it was a miracle for me. That man gave me a mitzvah, a blessing. I don't know if anybody else was changed, but I know that I will carry that blessing this day and all the days of my life.
When I talk about Jesus, that's who I'm talking about. So, Jewish Christian teachings. Humanist teachings. Number 5, the guidance of reason and the results of science. We know a lot about the universe, how it came into being, at least what happened after the Big Bang. We learn more every day, and we know a great deal about how we work, our body, our brain, our mind, how we work together in cultures, and we learn more every day. We know a lot about the world, its diversity, the strains put upon it, and we learn more every day. And humanist teachings tell us to remember these truths, to search out new truths, to go where no one has gone before, you know. And to harmonize these truths into an ethical, life-affirming, life-sustaining, life-flourishing structure of being together. We humans cannot do everything, but we sure can do something. That's humanism, in a really small nutshell. And last, our 7th principle, our earth-centered traditions, celebrating the sacred circle of life. Now, we have the great good fortune to live near many bodies of water. I live right across the street from Lake Superior in Duluth, and many of us are doing what we can. Josephine Mandeman, who is a Mother Earth water walker, and the water walkers are the women, mostly indigenous women, who have walked around Lake Superior and who have walked around the Great Lakes praying for their health and their integrity. And Josephine tells us, we need to really fight for that water, to speak for that water, to love that water. Nibi kijageiku, gimi kwechawe nimigu, kijage nimigu. Another little story. Every day, Doreen Day, who is another water walker, would drive her grandson, Mashkunz, which means little elk. She'd drive him to school. And each day they passed a body of water. Now, Doreen had been at a conference about water and heard the keynote speaker tell people there that the very least we could do was every day speak to the water. Say, water, we love you. Water, we thank you. We respect you. Well, one day, Mashkunz turned to his grandmother and said, Nokomis, why can't we say the words in our own language? Why can't we sing the words? And Doreen did a bit of research and help with the translation, and she's given us permission to sing her song. Nibi gijageiku, gimi kwechawe nimigu. Gijawe nimigu, nibi gijageiku, gimi kwechawe nimigu, gijawe nimigu. Water, we love you, thank you, respect you. And so may it be. May we make it so. Blessed be, and amen.